You are listening to another Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting. And I am very pleased to have a gentleman with us on the phone line tonight by the name of Rick Pittman. Rick is a native of Dallas, Texas, and now resides in Monroe, Louisiana. Rick is a grand prize winner of the 1998 Ernest Hemingway Short Story Competition, and also has an undergraduate and a master's degree from Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. Rick is a member of several different Southern organizations, and we'll probably ask him about those before we get through tonight. He's an active member of different organizations that are promoting the cause of Southern history and Southern heritage. Rick is also, the reason we have asked him to come up and be with us tonight is that he is the author of a brand new book that has been published by Pelican entitled Jim Limber Davis, A Black Orphan in the Confederate White House. And so, Rick, without further ado, thank you for being on the broadcast with us tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad to be a part of this. This is wonderful.
Well, Rick, we certainly appreciate anybody who takes the time to put out some new material that helps diffuse the antagonistic questions and comments that are always hurled at us to attack and tear down our ancestors and the noble cause for which they stood. So we're excited about this new book that you put out because it does exactly that.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Now, let me ask you if you would. I know that you've we've given a little bit of your bio, and I see you've also won a couple of awards presented by both the United Daughters of the Confederacy and the Sons of Confederate Veterans because of your writing and historical things. Why don't you give us just a little bit of an idea about how you became involved in Southern history and Southern organizations in general?
Well, I was raised, of course, in the South, spending a lot of my summers around Bonham, Texas, and in that area, where I set one of my novels, actually. But my grandmother would tell me stories constantly about my Confederate, her grandfather, that is my Confederate ancestor, and it was, I just found it intriguing, and I've always been a reader, and latched on to the Civil War. Early as an interest, and then it became a passion, and I've just I've been with it ever since, you know. The South, I love the South, and am committed to the South, and you know, like so many Southerners, I felt there's just some things about Southerners and the South stories that need to be told, and that's what pushed me into writing about the South.
Well, now, I know that the first book that you had published with Pelican is entitled Stories of the Confederate South. Give us a little bit of an overview of that book.
Okay, that book Pelican is just coming out with. I've had it with the small press in Maine, and Pelican has taken that over, so that will be out in just a few weeks with Pelican.
Oh, that's great.
But it's a collection of short historical fiction stories and ideas that I got from diaries and journals and just little news items, and many of them I've just found through serendipity, just by being a good reader and coming up on something that I thought, you know, this would really make a good story.
Well, it sounds like that's also the kind of book that would make for good reading for high school English classes, too.
Yes, it has been.
That's great. Now, to get to our particular subject tonight, it's your book that you have with Pelican entitled Jim Limber Davis, A Black Orphan in the Confederate White House. Now, many folks, even involved in the Southern movement in one way or another, are probably unfamiliar with who Jim Limber Davis actually is or was. And, you know, probably the straw man that the enemies like to attack the most when they're attacking Southern history and heritage is that race issue. And this story that you're fixing to unfold for us a little bit just kind of blows all that out of the water.
And it really does, yes.
So why don't you just tell us a little bit about who Jim Limber was, and we'll go from there.
All right, yeah, Jim Limber was a free black orphan living in Richmond. And he was in the care of a free black guardian that was very abusive to him. And Verena Davis was in a carriage ride through Richmond in that February, and
by the way, Verena Davis was the wife of President Jefferson Davis, right?
Right. And she saw this little boy being beaten severely, and she stopped the carriage and went over and basically forced the man to stop and took the little orphan boy with her to the White House. And then the next day, Jefferson Davis went down and filed, and she and Mr. Davis became the legal guardians of Jim Limber Davis, and he was with them until the end of the war. So it's just a story of an endearing act of kindness, and it does really, bash the stereotype, about Southerners being racist, because here is, the greatest symbol of the Confederacy, and they have a black orphan as part of their family now,
And I think one of the greatest things you bring out there is that, the enemies of our history would say, well, yeah, they supposedly adopted him as part of their family, but you're pointing out that they actually filed legal paperwork to do so.
Yes, they did. Yeah, and the very next day. And he's mentioned in Mary Chestnut's writings. She saw him, and of course, Verena Davis has some letters about him, too. And I discovered the story just by accident. A friend gave me a copy of a book called The Embattled Confederacy. It's by Mr. Riley, a fine book. And Jim Limber's photograph was in there, and this is the same photograph which is now in the Museum of the Confederacy in Richmond. And I thought, found it. And so I began reading everything I could find about him, and decided that this would be a story that had to be told, and put together this children's book on it.
Now, now, you've written this book as a children's book, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's the reason for doing it that way?
I thought that as a children's book, more people would actually come to know the story, because, I think thoughtful parents not only want their children to read books that entertain them, but also books that would teach the child values. And, of course, this book, I think, really does promote racial harmony. And, of course, as the parents read or listen to the story that their children are reading, they, too, will learn some things. And so I thought it would be a story that would appeal to children. But I'm finding more and more that it also is a story that appeals to adults, too.
Well, the very fact that it promotes a view of the South where folks got along back in 1861 to 1865 in spite of the color of their skin probably means you probably won't get a lot of good reviews in some of the secular magazines that are out today.
That's probably true, but a writer would have a nervous breakdown if he worried about the critics and reviews.
Well, I'm quite certain of that, and of course, our listeners here on Dixie Broadcasting, I'm sure, will be just the opposite in their reception of the story and the book itself. It sounds very much, Rick, like this is a perfect book for providing your children in February when it comes around Black History Month, and the teachers are all telling the children that they have to pick out a book to read for Black History Month.
Yeah, and I'm planning on doing that in schools. I actually did it this year in some local schools and told the story of Jim Limber. I didn't have the book, unfortunately, to show them, but I did tell Jim Limber's story, and it touched some people. This is a story that I think really does touch people. I think it's a story that really can make a difference. And, to show that we Southerners, of course the South has problems, but, we Southerners today, we don't endorse or encourage race hate and
sure.
That card, and nor should we,
Well, now, many of our folks who may not be familiar with the story of Jim Limber Davis already, probably need to be brought up to date also on what happens later in the story. Do you want to do that now, or you want to wait till later in the interview here to cover
that? Yeah, no, this actually, that's an important point, because though it gave the young lad a couple of really, really happy years, and I have to put this part into a little epilogue to the parents, you know, but it doesn't really have a happy ending, because when the Union soldiers arrested Jefferson Davis, after that they took little Jim Limber from the family by force, and he was never heard or seen from again. Hmm. And Jefferson Davis spent several years looking for Jim Limber, placing newspaper advertisements, asking about his whereabouts. I've researched it too. I've contacted all the benevolent institutions that I could find that, you know, were still in existence, and, uh-huh. and records like that. And after the soldiers took him, he just vanished. And that's kind of sad, you know. And it's sad in the Davis family too that they lost him. But you know, I think that's one point that's being made. You know, is that war was such a horrible thing on everyone. You know, black and white in the South.
Right. And here was the noble Yankee army come down to free Jim Limber Davis and people of color, and here they are ripping him away from his family that loves him.
Yes, that's right. And you know, sad. And we know the officer who did it. And in my book, Stories of the Confederate South, one of the stories I wrote in it is called The Taking of Jim Limber. And I write the story from a Yankee soldier's point of view, as one of those soldiers that took Jim Limber. Hmm. And I kind of speculate with historical fiction, you know, within that genre, you know,
sure.
about what happened. And so I try to look at it from their eyes. And but it was just a horrible ending there.
Well, now, I did not realize that we knew the name of the actual Yankee officer who was responsible for his taking, so I guess we'll leave that for the listeners to have to go and buy the book in order to find out that and some of these other details. I'm not asking you to give away all of the goodies tonight.
Yeah.
I guess this is probably as good a time as any to go ahead and mention that if our listeners out there are interested in purchasing the book, the place to go is to Pelican Publishing's website. You can find the book online by going to epelican.com. And up there at the top, you can type in a search either for the author's name, Rick Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N, or you can do a search for Jim Limber Davis, and it'll pull up the title of the book right there for you.
Yes, it will.
Epelican.com. And you can do a search and actually read a little bit about that book while we're here on the interview tonight. Now, you've written this book as a children's book. What are some of the lessons that you're hoping that children who read the book take from this story?
You know, I wanted to show and to teach, you know, that family is important, and that being a member of a family doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin. You know, just the importance of family. I wanted to show too that because of this issue of, you know, the tendency of people to stereotype Southerners, to show, you know, that racism existed in the North as well as in the South, and that not all Southerners were racist, you know.
Right.
And to show just that times of war are hard on everyone, especially on the children. And you know, and just how hard that was. You know, Walt Whitman said this. He said about the Civil War, he said, the real war will never get in the books.
Hmm.
And in my writing, I want the real war to get into the books and the real story to be told. And so these are some of the lessons I want to stress, you know, and I really do want the book to help promote racial harmony in the South.
Well, and I think the truth is that for most folks here in the South, We generally have a tendency to all get along well anyway. It's usually when we have folks that are outsiders that that get involved and come down here and try to stir up problems that that's usually when the strife comes in.
That's right, and really that's how it was during the war too, you know, and after the war.
And of course, the that same Yankee government still been involved in that ever since.
Yes, sir.
And still trying to stir things up now. Folks, you're listening to a Pelican Pages interview here at Dixie Broadcasting, and we're interviewing Mr. Rick Pittman and talking about Rick's book, Jim Limber Davis, A Black Orphan in the Confederate White House, about a young black boy who was actually adopted by President Jefferson Davis and his family and lived for a time there in the Confederate White House during the war. You can find out more about this book and actually purchase it online by going to the Pelican website at epelican.com. That's www.epelican.com. In just a few minutes, we're going to come back and talk some more with Rick. And when we do, he's agreed to give us a little bit of a treat tonight. One of his poems that he has written is entitled Deo Vindice, and he's going to share that with us. And Rick, you probably have a different pronunciation of that. I'm not very good on those Latin phrases, but we'll give Rick an opportunity to read this for us. So, you know, all those times that you always sat in English class and the teacher said, oh, now here's what the author really meant. Well, now we're going to have an opportunity to hear a poem by the actual author, hear him read it, and hear his thoughts on it. And then we'll talk some more about this book about Jim Limber Davis. So don't go anywhere, folks. We've got more coming up in just a minute. And plenty more all night long here at Dixie Broadcasting. All right, welcome back to another Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting. And we are joined tonight on the broadcast by Mr. Rick Pittman, who is a native of Dallas, Texas, and now resides in Monroe, Louisiana. And Rick has a book out by Pelican Publishing entitled Jim Limber Davis, A Black Orphan in the Confederate White House. And we've been talking to Rick tonight about the book itself and about the story of Jim Limber Davis. It's certainly a story that all Southerners should be familiar with, especially since we know from day in and day out, one of the things that our ancestors are always attacked with is how they didn't care anything about people of other colors and other backgrounds. And this story, a story about President Jefferson Davis and his family, and certainly blows all that out of the water. And it's certainly a story that all Southerners should be familiar with. And so, Rick, we appreciate you writing the book.
It's been wonderful, and the book's been well received. And you know, Pelicans has pre-sold a great deal of them already.
That's great. Now, what exactly is involved with trying to get a book like this, Rick, into the hands of school children in classes in our schools?
Basically, it's you would present the book and market it through the libraries.
Okay.
or through programs. Black History Month is a wonderful time, of course, for this book. Schools and public libraries alike are always looking for presenters, you know, that can both entertain and teach the children interesting books and topics like that.
And now, is it possible for just individuals to purchase copies of the book and take them down to either the public library or the school library and make donations?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Well, that's
and librarians often, they really do appreciate that.
And that's certainly something that I know that probably very few of us really take advantage of, but it's a perfect opportunity for us to get good reading material into the hands of our children that are in school.
It is, and you know, because there's just so much junk out there. And
that's a very nice way to put that, Rick.
Yeah, and the kids need good, factual, but yet motivating material, you know, that has some kind of morality with it and like that.
Well, it's the cultural Marxists are certainly doing everything they can to get their propaganda into the hands of our school children, so it's about time we started putting some good material into their hands as well.
Yes, it is.
Now, I know that you're apparently a very avid writer in a number of different genres, and one of the things that I have in front of me that you've written is a poem. And if you don't mind, Rick, we're just going to ask you to treat us a little bit tonight and just read this right from the heart of the author himself.
Okay. Yeah, this is a poem called Dio Vindici, and it was printed in Confederate Veteran, the magazine of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And I wrote it that I was attending a gifted teachers conference, and there was kind of a performance piece competition, and I wrote it that day and performed it, and it went over well, and I thought, you know, I need to refine this a little bit, and I think I've got something here. And so this is what I ended up with. Dio Vindici. I am a southerner. I won't apologize. I won't be reconstructed. I will not surrender my identity, my heritage. I believe in the Constitution, in states' rights, that the government should be the servant, not the master of the people. I believe in the right to bear arms, the right to be left alone. I am a southerner, and the spirit of my Confederate ancestor boils in my blood. He fought, not for what he thought was right, but for what was right. Not for slavery, but to resist tyranny, Machiavellian laws, oppressive taxation, invasion of his land, for the right to be left alone. I am a southerner, a rebel, seldom politically correct, at times belligerent. I don't like Lincoln, Grant, or Sherman, or modern neocon politicians like them. I like hunting and fishing, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Bonnie Blue, and Dixie. I still believe in chivalry and civility. I am a face in the southern collage of gentlemen and scholars, bells and riders, soldiers and sharecroppers, Cajuns and Creos, Tejanos and Isleños, Celts and Germans, Gullah and Geechee, freedmen and slaves. We are all the South. The South, my home, my beautiful home, my culture, my destiny, my heart. I am a Southerner. Dio Vindici.
Wow, Rick, that's tremendous. That's a very, very powerfully written piece there. And so you wrote that in one setting, or you just got the idea in one setting?
Yes, sir. And of course, I've always liked the official motto of the South, that God will vindicate us, and somehow the muses struck or something, and that stuck in my head, you know, and the poem resulted.
Well, that's tremendous, and certainly with the way that our ancestors were treated in the 19th century, and the way that Southerners have been treated ever since by the Yankee Empire, certainly the only thing that we do have to hold on to is that promise that we have from Almighty God, that He will vindicate us one day.
That's right.
And I pray that I live to see that day. If not, I pray that my son lives to see that day. And I'm sure that there are many Southerners who feel the same way, and your poem expresses exactly what we feel. Well, let's talk just briefly a little bit more about the book that we're speaking about tonight, Jim Limber Davis. Give us a little bit of your speculation, Rick, as to what you think might have happened to Jim after the Yankee soldiers took him away from the Jefferson Davis family.
Well, you know, looking at...
Maybe I shouldn't ask you to give that part of the book away, or the short story away. I don't know.
Yeah, the short story, the taking of Jim Limber, I picture a Yankee soldier that took him. We know that for a little while they kind of put him on display as one of Jefferson Davis's slaves.
Hmm.
And then somehow that was stopped, and then he just vanished. And I suggest in the story that he could have been murdered, you know, and not the first baby to have been murdered in that war, you know.
Sure.
I wrote a song called Cry Little Artilleryman about the baby of a woman in Point Lookout prison. Jane Perkins had served with the Richmond, Washington Artillery up there. And, no, Danville Artillery, I'm sorry. The Danville Artillery. And she was taken prisoner, taken to Point Lookout. Had her baby there. Her baby was taken away, and he was never heard or seen from again.
Wow.
And we know for sure he didn't end up in a benevolent institution up there. And so, you know, it's just another case of, you know, war crimes taking place. But he shouldn't have been taken from his family. And, you know, Peggy Robbins wrote a fine art magazine article, the finest I've seen about Jim Limber. It was printed in the Southern Partisan some time ago, and that article was very helpful to me in my research. And she well documents just what a part of that of the Davis household Jim Limber was. And so, you know, I just look at the loss and the vanishing of Jim Limber as another war crime, you know.
Sure.
In the war between the states there.
And of course, you know, the South and our leadership, especially our Gentile class who were the leadership of the Confederacy during the war, they're always stereotyped as being oppressive and hate-mongers towards people of other color, and yet here we have a story of the first family of the Confederacy who, out of the kindness of their heart, took this boy in, not as a servant or a slave, but as a member of their own family.
Yes, and that's right, you know.
And I think it's interesting that you point out that, you know, this is the first time in American history that a black orphan has ever been adopted by a presidential family in America. You certainly don't see any of the New England Skull and Bones families doing that.
Yeah, and ironically, it was a Confederate family, you know, that did that. Yeah, the irony is, it must strike people, the irony of it.
You know, it just goes right hand in hand along with the fact that the Confederate Constitution outlawed the slave trade before the U.S. Constitution did, and the first fully integrated racial fighting units were all Confederate units before the United States units, which didn't happen, as far as I know, until up in the Vietnam War.
That's right.
And so the South was certainly not in any way what it has been portrayed, and this story certainly gives us ammunition to be able to go out and fight the good fight, to tell the truth about our noble ancestors. Rick, I know you're involved in several different Southern organizations in addition to all the writing that you do. Tell us a little bit about the different organizations you're in, please.
Okay. I'm a member of the League of the South, and just believing in that cause more and more. A member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, an organization devoted to heritage and history, and both of those are very important to me, I've always tried to teach that, you know, to my children and students and like that, that, you know, we need to have a reverence and respect for the dead, for the departed, for our ancestors, and to not let them fade from our memory, and to remember what they were, what was important to them. I'm also a member of the Scottish Society of Northeast Louisiana, which is, you know, not surprisingly, because, you know, Scotland and, of course, Wales, my ancestors were actually Welsh, and in Ireland, you know, they've long been under oppression and themselves, and And so their history is very much like Southern history in that aspect. I play in a Scots-Irish band. We call ourselves Angus Dougal. We're a three-piece band. I play guitar and sing. We have a lead singer who also plays the Valorin. And in his that's Tom McCandlish. And his wife, Mary, plays the fiddle for us. And we do some original music and a lot of traditional Scots-Irish music.
Well, Rick, the next time we have you on the broadcast, then we'll just have to listen to some of this Celtic music along the way, too.
We'd love to do that.
Well, maybe you can scrounge up some recordings and send to us, and we can play those in the meanwhile.
Okay. I also frequently speak at, schools and libraries and Sons of Confederate Veteran camps. And sometimes do a little music show with my guitar, as well as a reading. And so I stay pretty busy.
It sounds like it. Well, now, Rick, if we may, can you tell us if you have any plans already in the works for any future things coming out from you?
Yes, I'm still working on some more short stories. I'm working on a... that I'd like to make into another collection of Confederate short stories. You know, that stories of the Confederate South, I tell people it's the stories the Yankees wouldn't tell, you know, and they're told from a Confederate point of view. You know, having been a school teacher so long, I've read and taught everything that's presented in the Civil War, and with a couple of exceptions, it just doesn't get across what needs to be felt. As well as taught about the war, and I'm working on a novel that's set in the last year of the Civil War about a Texas cavalryman. The working title is "The Month the Babies Cry." He's from Jack County, Texas. There in that corridor where the Comanches and Kiowas were ravaging that part of the country during the war and immediately afterwards. And I'm quite excited about it. I'm about 30 or 40,000 words into it. So I'm trying to complete that. I'm working on a nonfiction book about writing about the Civil War and trying to give people some writing ideas because, you know, there's just so many ideas and stories, I can't get to them all. So I thought I'd share some of those 101 ideas or something about them. Southern stories you could write about, you know.
Well, that's great, and you also do actual editing work for other authors too, right?
Yes, I'm a freelance editor. I've done a great deal of editing for Don and Ron Kennedy with their books, and of course that was a learning experience for me because those fellows are so knowledgeable. I mean, just walking encyclopedias.
They are.
Of history, in fact, and their logic is sharp, and I've enjoyed editing their works.
Well, then maybe we have some folks out there that have an idea for a book or two in mind, and they just need somebody to help them do the editing part of their book.
Well, I would be glad to do it, and it is kind of important to know the person editing is looking at things from your point of view.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
And there are not a whole lot of you out there that are doing what you're doing from a Southern vantage point. Well, folks, you've been listening to a Pelican Pages interview tonight with Mr. Ricky Pittman. Ricky is an author of a number of different things, but in particular, he has a book out from Pelican Publishing entitled Jim Limber Davis, A Black Orphan in the Confederate White House. And you can find out about this book and other books that Rick has or will have coming out here in the very near future with Pelican by just going to the Pelican website at epelican.com and do a search either for Rick Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N, or for the title of one of his books. So, Rick, we just want to thank you for being on the program tonight, and if there's ever anything we can do to help promote your next book, maybe when it's ready in a few weeks or a month or so, why, get back in touch with us, and we'd be happy to do that as well.
Well, great. I would love to. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, you're welcome, and we'll be looking forward to some of that Celtic music coming through the mail, too, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Well, God bless you. Folks, we hope you'll stay around and listen. We've got a lot more programming coming up for you tonight with good music all night long here at Dixie Broadcasting, and we want to thank our listeners for making Dixie Broadcasting so successful for these last 4.5-plus years, and we just experienced our second month in a row having a record month with total listenership here at the radio station, and of course we hope that you consider this to be your radio station here at Dixie Broadcasting, because that's the way we look at it. So don't go anywhere. There's plenty more, so get you something to drink and settle back in for some more good music.
He demonstrated his skill with a rifle at an early age. At age 10, he would kill the first of 3,000 black bears. Despite the fact that he was freed by his master at the beginning of the war for Southern independence and forbidden to join the fighting because he was too young, he disobeyed his former master, ran away, and joined the army. He would serve in the Confederate Army until the end of the war. After the war, he was the 1903 guide for Teddy Roosevelt's Big Bear Hunt. He is said to have played a role in the beginnings of the now famous teddy bear that children love so much. He was Holt Collier. He was born into slavery, given his freedom, and fought for the South he loved. Holt Collier is but one of many people featured on Dixie Outfitters' line of diverse Confederates t-shirts. Visit DixieOutfitters.com today to view the diverse Confederates line of t-shirts. DixieOutfitters.com, promoting real history, the real South.